All right, welcome Hanan Farber once again to Talk with Jordan. It's a pleasure to have you join us again on the podcast. I feel like last time we left off on some good areas of IP law, which to be very honest, I think is something that a lot of people, like we also talked about last time, do not always consider and do not always consider as being important to them. And also at certain, also at other points on the flip side, almost over consider and don't do it strategically. And I think it's important to really understand the various things that are associated with IP law and, you know, patents, whatever it is. And it's very, very important. So, you know, thank you, first of all, for joining us again. I do appreciate it. And I'm excited to get started with you. So today, like we discussed, we're going to focus on three particular things, if we have time, at least three, but definitely the first two, which are utility models and design as it comes to IP law. And then if we have some time at the end, we'll get to trademark. So, you know, first, I'll just get started with you. Can you tell us what a utility model is?
Sure. First, let me thank you for having me back again so quickly. It's always a pleasure to talk to people. Okay, utility model. When I was, when I was a patent intern, I was at a conference with patent attorneys, and then I overheard some patent attorney asking another one, what's a utility model? In other words, professional people don't know what it is.
Oh, well,
a utility model. Okay. So since then I learned what a utility model is. The reason why it's not so well known is it's the utility model does not appear in Israeli law, does not appear in European law, your patent law, like a European patent organization. It does not appear in the United States. Where does utility model appear? In certain countries, big countries like China and Germany and South Korea. And there's a long list.
Okay.
Some countries in Europe have utility models. So what is a utility model? Utility model is, first of all, it's for a device. Unlike a patent can be for a device or a method. You can't get a method utility model. There is only a device utility model. Now, the nice thing about a utility model is that it doesn't have validity, but it can be enforced as soon as you register for it. As soon as it gets registered.
What do you mean that difference between validity and enforcement, kind of?
In other words, for a patent, for a utility patent, the utility patent gets examined, which means the patent examiner says, no, I don't agree, that's not patentable. You have to make your claims more narrow. You have the scope of your invention has to be more well defined. You're trying to get a monopoly on too great an area. I can't give you that. Whereas the utility model, there is no examination. A good attorney will ask for a utility model, which is probably valid, not too wide or too narrow. But you can enforce your utility model by taking it to court, and then they'll decide whether it's valid or not. The point is, by filing a utility model, unlike a patent, you have a way of getting patent protection almost immediately. You don't have to wait a few years.
Uh-huh.
So at some place, in some countries, for instance, China, you can for the same exact text, for the same specification and drawings, the same application, you can ask for both a regular patent, which when issued would be good for 20 years from the filing.
Gotcha.
But if you want to enforce it to right away, somewhere against someone somewhere, you can also ask for a utility model at the same time without any, with just extra filing fees.
And it's just extra protection on top of the
it gives you more
situation.
Immediate protection. It gives you more immediate protection. There is, you can enforce your patent. You don't have to wait 2 or 3 years. I just, since the last time I spoke to you, two of my clients, they called me up both on the same day and say they have infringers. They have potential infringers.
Oh, wow.
So when one of them already has a patent for a long time, and the other one is the patents are still, we can't enforce them yet. One of them has to wait 3 months, and the other one has to wait maybe, and for one patent has to wait for 3 months, the other a year. So he can't write a letter saying to the potential infringer, I have a patent, please stop infringing.
Right.
But with a utility model, you can do that right away. So it's a big advantage of a utility model. Another advantage of the utility model is that it's less overall cost, because there's no examination, there's no substantive examination. That's a very costly part of the whole process. And the downside of a utility model is only for 10 years, whereas a patent is for 20 years.
Gotcha. So, could you So who might like want to use kind of like the utility model versus, let's say, you know, some other form of, you know, IP protection?
Well, okay, utility model has, and let's say someone files an international application.
Sure.
And just let's say they found, they say there's no inventive step. So you can't get a patent, but you might still be able to get a utility model, because in most countries, utility model doesn't need an inventive step. It has a lower, threshold of becoming enforceable.
It only doesn't need an original
some
idea.
Level of novelty. Some level of novelty. It doesn't require this extra bit of inventive step. Novelty means it's something new there. I'm willing to give you protection. Inventive step is anyone would have come up with this because it's a simple combination of things which exist. So that means, and if that's the case, then the examiner may say there's no inventive step.
So, in some sense. Sure. Just to help the kind of the slow people out there, right? So if I have an iPhone, right? The iPhone, when it first came out, probably got the whole thing, right? It had the inventive step. It was a new thing, right? And it was a new device, right? But when, let's say, the next smartphone came out, right? Did it need it probably went the utility model route, right? Because it didn't have that necessarily inventive step, which was this novel, truly novel process of design and building and engineering, because it was kind of already based on this other idea, right? The whole iPhone model.
Well, I don't know if Apple files for utility models in China. I think probably not. A utility model is usually not for something like an iPhone, which most of the interest of the iPhone is in the algorithms and the software. It's more like something like a new, I'm looking around for the room, a new speaker. I'm looking at my speaker. A speaker with some different component on it. It has a magnet in a different place.
Gotcha.
No one puts that magnet in a different place. And it may have certain advantages. Okay, well, the examiner may say, well, I mean, anyone could have put the magnet over there. It's not such a big deal putting the magnet over there. But you're the first person who did it, and you think it has an advantage. So they might give you a utility model and give you protection for 10 years to stop someone from making a Me Too copycat product in China or something.
Got you. Okay.
So that would be a good example of a utility model. Sometimes very often they're mechanical type inventions. And mechanics has been around so long, and there's so many people who worked on it, that it's very difficult to get a patent in something mechanical. But you might be able to get a utility model.
Got you, because there's already been so many people who've made kind of the inventive steps in the mechanics, that if you're just kind of slightly altering this, putting a screw there, then it doesn't necessarily need that whole overarching patent. You need just the utility model that says, you're a little different,
right.
You had a good idea,
right.
We'll protect it. But you're nothing special in a sense.
And it stops someone from copying what you made, like one to one, and maybe even copying some of the concept. But but it's better to have some protection rather than no protection if you're putting out a new, like, mechanical type product or something like that. And I have clients like that, that in some cases I went from utility model protection just to save them money. They want their protection in China. And so since I didn't want to do all of the prosecution, every time the examiner rejects, then I have to respond. That costs money each time. And then so you save at least maybe $10,000 or something by going for a utility model. And it's also less risky.
Got you.
It gives them some protection. And then they may go, and then sometimes there's marginally patentable. And the client says, I really want to get some protection. And then it goes over and over and over again with the examiner. It doesn't usually happen with me, but it can happen.
Gotcha.
And then it costs more and more money each iteration. And I don't want to go there because the client doesn't have infinite money. So I just rather suggest a utility model, give them some protection. And I'll do that if they really don't have the biggest business in the first place. And so I think I'm doing them a favor by suggesting them a utility model rather than a full patent.
Got you. Now, who in this sense in the startup world would really benefit from a utility model versus, you know, the larger, I mean, like, who, you know, in a sense, like, what would you say to kind of maybe like an early stage startup, right, that's coming up with some type of novelty product that maybe doesn't have that inventive step that you're speaking about, but has definitely some sort of, you know, new product that's going to change the market? What would you recommend them, a utility model? Is it worthwhile for them?
Yeah, I would. If it's a what if it's like a manufactured product and they're likely to manufacture it in China, okay, or Germany. Mm-hmm. Germany has most of the in manufacturing in all of Europe. And then we don't have the, you can also file, I can file, for instance, for a regular patent in Britain. You can file for a utility model in Germany and a utility model in China. And that relatively inexpensively gives you a good part of the manufacturing world. I can ask for a regular patent in the US, for instance.
Gotcha.
And then that's it. So I've divided between two utility model, two patents, not so much prosecution, only two countries. And sometimes if I had Israel can get, also won't have prosecution, because if in Israel you can get a patent based on a grant in either the UK or in US. So usually that also avoids heavy prosecution and comes out to be relatively inexpensive.
So that's actually very good coverage.
That's decent coverage. It's a lot less expensive than filing Japan or the European EPO, the European Patent Organization. Much, much more expensive to go to those countries than, and also it also avoids patent filing an international application, which is expensive. Mm-hmm. So filing utility models are a good weapon for simple protection that's relatively easily enforced. It's because if someone's really copying, then it's a strong, you don't have to prove inventive step when you're trying to enforce it.
You can just prove that they're literally copying
novelty.
It.
Exactly. You have to prove they're copying it and there's something new about it. So it's very hard for someone who's accused of infringement of a utility model to actually get around that. There's not many arguments left. So it's a strong kind of intellectual property for a manufactured product, which is of relatively low cost, and not many patent attorneys use that method at all.
For sure. No, that's interesting. It's kind of interesting because it sounds like almost like the in a certain way, like almost like startup persons or an entrepreneur's, like, you know, catch all solution for, you know, their novelty product to protect it in a kind of cost effective and efficient way. It sounds like almost like that kind of like, you know, gift from God in a sense of IP law. Because I mean, from what I'm saying is, like, the way I see it is, like, if I go and create, like, you know, a new smartwatch tomorrow, you know, I don't necessarily have the inventive step of, you know, the smartwatch, but I can at least prevent someone, you know, maybe in China or Germany or wherever you have it of the manufacturing world taking my idea and going with it and then, you know, undercutting me by, you know, 50% or whatever it would be. And so it's very interesting in that sense. Now, along those lines, I want to kind of now move into the world of design, which you had mentioned also is a very, you know, unique world of itself. And I'd love for you just to, you know, maybe give a brief overview of kind of what it is like in the world of design, you know, especially, let's say, in the world of software, which is very, very relevant today. How is design law and how is that protected for entrepreneurs?
Right. Okay. So design. Okay. First of all, a design is called a design sometimes in some countries. In America, it's called a design patent. Mm-hmm. Okay. In other words, it's in the same branch of the United States Patent and Trademark Office deals with patents, also deals with designs. So they call them design patents. But in other places of the world, the design is a separate entity. It might be a different body which is accepting the design application. Mm-hmm. Okay, now we'll get into software in a bit, but I'd like to, since you mentioned smartwatch, I'd like to talk about design in the context of the smartwatch, and then we'll move into software.
Please.
So the smartwatch, you have the face of the watch is classic design.
Okay.
Right? Your new device is inside the watch. You ask for a utility model on the new whatever mechanism inside the watch or something.
Sure.
The new battery or whatever you put in there.
Right.
Or the new way of charging the battery using some, I don't know, kind of a rotating spring, which no one's done before.
Sure.
It's similar to other things, but it's new enough that you'll get a utility model. Now, but the face of the watch, that's something that's seen. That has to be designed. The designers, you'll go to a designer and you'll say, design me the watch face. Uh-huh. Design me another watch face. Design me one for women. Design me one for men. Design me a few variations. And you take those drawings and you submit them as a design, and they'll probably be accepted if they're not similar to someone else's design that already existed. And that gives you protection on the design, on the aesthetic appearance of the smartwatch.
I got you. Okay. So let me ask you a question. Now, if I have the smartwatch, you know they have like the touchable screen, right? Now,
I'm a late adopter of new technology, as much as that sounds. So,
well, now I'll give you a little knowledge, right? You're dropping all these balls for me. So you know, smartwatches, they have kind of like they have the watch, right? They have the wristband, then they have generally like the face of the watch, we'll call it. And on the face of the watch, they actually have, you know, generally speaking, they have like the interface, right? Which is like the screen where you do, you know, you touch it, you look at your touch screen. Now, I have kind of maybe a complicated question for you. Would the touch screen then, in this case, be both covered under the utility model and the design patent?
Well, the design is the aesthetic aspects of the touch screen. If the touch screen had an unusual shape.
Okay.
Then yes. Now, if this touchscreen, let's say, wasn't in a plane, let's say it was you made it somehow on a curve, okay. and a certain process of making a curved touchscreen, then that would be utility patent.
Got you. Okay, but just in and of itself, it's not a design feature because it's part of the utility of it. Got you.
The aesthetics are protected with the design, and the utility or the inventiveness is protected with the patent. And the novelty can protect it with a utility model. So that's a good example that you can go for all three of them. Now you wanted to move to software. Now let's take the same exact idea as a smartwatch. But let's say it was implemented, the touch screen that you just said, was implemented in software. Well, the patent law doesn't really, they recognize that. That's really the same idea. So you can get a design for what you're presenting on the screen.
Huh.
Of a laptop or what you're presenting on the screen in a regular Android phone or on your touch screen on your smartwatch.
On my watch. Right. Okay.
If it's a software implemented watch, and you could do that. So that's it. And not only that, you have in most recent design law, you can have animations. In other words, you can have as the screen changes, as the icon opens up and out pops a clown, you can show screenshots of those different stages, and you can get a design patent for that.
Got you. Interesting. So that's very interesting. I mean, basically, it kind of covers a large degree of like the design facets that you might not even think are necessarily design. Because that to me is almost more, you know, my mind says that's utility because it's inside of the screen, right? It's inside of the larger device. But it's interesting because you're kind of saying that that's actually design. Like, so for example, like did Microsoft work, like when Microsoft came out with Office, you know, let's say in that entire suite, or Adobe came out with their entire suite of applications, are they getting design laws or are they getting utility? Design patents, or are they getting utility model, or what exactly would they be getting in those situations?
They probably ask for both. They probably ask for I'm looking at I'm looking at right now the logo of Windows is sitting on my second screen.
Right.
So they have this figure with a yellow, green, red, and blue. They're sort of like distorted rectangles. And that's there. And so the picture of that design, that's a design, or the way they shaped their early Windows, the colorations and the boxes and those push buttons in the upper right hand corner, those are all, that's design. And then the utility will be a push button on functional two, how it functions. One functional to drop the screen, one functional to close the screen, and another functional to be able to change the size of the screen.
Gotcha.
And
okay.
that would be a utility patent. So they can, so in software, the main point is you can ask for both, especially if it's in the user interface, if it's something that is seen, then you can ask for both aesthetic aspects and design and functional aspects in a utility patent. Now, gotcha. We wanted to get to trademarks.
Yes, so I was going to just, your great minds think alike, as I say. I was literally just about to think, you know, how do we trademark this entire thing so that I don't get, so that, you know, so that Apple doesn't steal my office, right? You know, which they even, if I remember, they almost tried to do, if I'm not mistaken, or was it the other way? I think Microsoft took the idea of the office that Steve Jobs was coming up with. So like, how do you do that?
Right, so I wanted to tie in with trademarks, the same ideas we're talking about. Trademarks can all you can also get protection for sound. So that if someone has like a game, and not only do they have, and their main character or something makes this funny sound,
right?
So you can get a design patent for how the main character bumps, you know, bounces around the screen if it's in some predictable way. And then you can get a trademark for the main character making a certain sound. The sound can be trademarked. That's like a brand. It's part of your brand. A character may be part of your brand. But the character itself might be an animation, which you can get in a protection as a design patent. But I don't know if you can get it for get it as a utility patent. Mm-hmm. So there are different aspects of software that have to be protected in certain ways. And that's really the best approach for software companies, is to look at all the possible methods of all the possible weapons in or protection mechanisms in patent law, and to try to use all of them.
Now, is design patents, are they cost effective, let's say, for an early stage company? Is it worth waiting a little bit on something like that? Because you mentioned that the utility model is actually worth it in that sense, right? It's a little more cost effective. It does a little bit more rapid enforcement, right? But are the design patents worth it at that point? If I'm, you know, let's say a pre-seed or seed or maybe only round A type of, you know, company, and maybe don't necessarily want to put the money out on the patent because I still need to develop the whole software.
Right. You don't ask for a design patent typically until your product is ready to be manufactured, because it's on the aesthetic appearance.
Right.
It's the last thing that, even if it's on the screen, it's generally speaking the last aspect that's going to be designed is what exactly is the customer going to see. So usually those are later. They can be expensive because anything in any variation of a design on a screen needs to get a separate design patent application.
Right.
So you know, there might be in Europe, by the way, you can file like 10 different designs in one application,
right?
With a slight penalty. But in the U.S., they make you file a different design application for every single unique picture, or with you add another feature to the design. They'll say it's different, and they'll make you pay another fee. So it can get very expensive. It's typically most companies will wait for the design if it's a manufactured product. They have to wait till it's actually manufactured.
Got you.
Interesting. That is, before they actually manufacture it and sell it, they have to ask for the design patent if it's important to them.
Got you. Now, is it in anyone's best interest here, you know, when they're first starting out, let's say, to ignore this stage at all?
Which stage?
Discovering which patent is worthwhile for them. You know, would you ever recommend that people kind of put this aside and say, don't touch it now, you know, touch it later?
Well, if it's a utility patent or a design, you need to file for it before you actually begin to sell, because selling is considered prior art. So there's a limit to how long that you can put it aside. But on the other hand, you should try to put it aside as long as possible. We discussed that last time. Until right before you're selling.
Right, exactly.
And then because you're pushing your timeline.
Right.
A trademark is different. A trademark, you use it right up front.
Gotcha.
And because you get more you get more rights to your trademark the more that you use it.
Got you. In which case then it's actually worth it for you to like get it onto it.
You put it right up front, right?
Got you.
So that sound that you want to put into your that sound that you developed to put into your product. You can put that into your trademark. How you generate the sound, if it's something unusual, a mixture of certain frequencies, is you can put that into a utility patent.
Right. Okay. I get what you're saying. That's awesome. I mean, well, first of all, Hanan, I want to say, you know, we're coming up against the time. So, I mean, every single time that we've talked, it's just been very, very enlightening to me too, as both an entrepreneur myself and with my ideas, but also I'm sure it's enlightening to everyone else who's listening in. So I really do appreciate you sharing your knowledge. And I also, want to recommend your services for anyone who's listening to the podcast. You know, in the link, you can find a link to your LinkedIn and to connect with you. And I highly recommend your services. So, I really do thank you for coming on and sharing with us and being a part of this. I think these are incredibly useful insights for anyone who's getting into business and anyone who's getting into areas that really do need protection. And I think, what I've basically learned from you is look into this stuff, do your homework, find a good lawyer who's going to understand how to work with you correctly and within your situation, and to find the ones that are appropriate for you and to go for it. Because in the end, you don't want your ideas stolen by anyone else. So Hanan, I appreciate your time with us. Is there anything else you'd like to say before we tune out?
No, thank you very much for having me. It's a pleasure to speak with you. And if there's anything else ever, I'll be happy to discuss.
Awesome.
Thank you.
Awesome.
And thank you for the recommendation.
Awesome. Thank you so much.